Hello and welcome back to the Dentistry Online podcast. Today I'm with Yawande Odewale, one of the fastest growing names in young dentistry. So obviously you've just graduated. How was that during lockdown? How was lockdown for you?
Yeah, first I just want to say a big thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm a huge fan. And yeah, lockdown seems like a lifetime ago now. Everything's gone by so quickly. I think everything's happened really quickly in the span of a few months, and it's been really crazy. But I think the hardest thing was how abruptly my final year of dental school ended. I mean, final year is one of the most important years. Finally, everything's coming together. You're getting to do more dentistry, working on your final case presentations. And I was really looking forward to having a proper graduation. It's almost like the final lap of a marathon, and we were so close to the honestly, we were so close to the finish line, and then just everything sort of just came crashing down. We had about 2 weeks of uncertainty before lockdown. There was a lot of speculation about whether dental school was actually going to close. I didn't think it actually happened. I was a bit skeptical, but around mid-March, we were told that it was definitely closing down, and that would be our last day of 5 years of dental school.
Quite sad. That's really sad.
No, it was. I was really distraught. Like, I had one of my patients, we'd got really close. I was finishing her treatment plan. And I was really looking forward to seeing how everything would come together. And I didn't even get to say bye. So I was just a bit heartbroken, really. Yeah, no, I don't think anyone really predicted that's how 5 years would end.
It's a strange ending, I think, to obviously, you know, like you said, 5 years in dental school, that's a long time, it's a big part of your life, for it to just sort of come to a sudden stop at the end. But I mean, will you get a graduation? Is this something that will happen?
Yeah, so apparently we're going to have one in January. So hopefully we do get a real graduation, depending on how everything goes. it'd be quite nice to actually have a graduation.
Definitely.
But I think it just really goes to show that we can't predict the future, no matter how much we plan ahead. And
teaches you, it's taught you some, I'm assuming, some things that you perhaps wouldn't know otherwise. I mean, I know you said you worked as a domestic assistant in a hospital.
Yeah.
So how was that?
Yeah. So I think just during lockdown, I just really tried to focus my energy on things that I've wanted to do. I'm very quite proactive. I don't like being idle. So I try and do what I can to make the most of my time. So I think I started doing stuff like, I got my guitar out. I haven't played that in ages. So I got that out. Started doing some workouts, recording some YouTube videos, and I got a job at the hospital as a domestic assistant because the hospital was very understaffed. They realized that they needed a lot more temporary workers to help manage the increase in demand during the pandemic. So this included domestic workers because they needed to ensure that the hospital was thoroughly cleaned. Uh-huh. I just thought, you know what, why not just put myself forward for the role? And if this time last year someone told me that I'd be working as a cleaner in a hospital during the last few months of my final year of dental school, I'd literally look at them like, what?
I do think that, you know, these photos you see of people on tubes, people in dental practices, and I think if somebody showed me these photos a year ago and said, this is how things are going to be this time next year, I wouldn't have
believed. Literally. But you know, I think that's the beautiful thing about life. Yeah, you never actually know what's going to happen. One moment you're in final year of dental school, the next everything gets shut down and you're cleaning the hospital. So
nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, no, but all in all, I think I really actually enjoyed my time there. I think it was really nice having a daily routine. I met people from different walks of life. For example, there was a lady, she was called Becky. She had been a business owner for over 10 years, but it ended up collapsing due to the pandemic. God. Yeah, so she actually started working as a cleaner as well. And there was a lady called Amrita, she was a mother of two. She took up the job to support her family during the pandemic. So I think it was really nice just being able to cross paths and listen to their stories. And I learned a lot from it.
I bet. And dentistry is about sort of talking to people and communicating. So I guess it's going to teach you some things that you can then take forward when you start your foundation year.
Yeah, it allowed me to just, I literally gained a whole new respect for people who dedicate their time to make sure our surroundings are clean. Absolutely. For patients and staff. Like, without cleaners, the whole hospital system wouldn't be able to run, if you think about it. And And I think it really just taught me to always show appreciation to others, even if you just feel like they're just doing their job. I think one of the things that made a huge difference when I was clinging was for someone who took the time out to say thank you. It actually made my day a whole lot better, as opposed to people who literally just step in the puddle that you've just mopped. So to anyone listening, don't be that person who steps in a freshly cleaned puddle. Remember that everyone's human, and ultimately people just want to be appreciated.
Absolutely. And these are the roles, you know, they're kind of, you don't really think about the things that people are doing on a daily basis, you know, like cleaning the floors. You take it for granted. If you're in a hospital and it's clean, that's something that you expect.
It's a given almost, but there are people that dedicate their lives to this. So just make sure you show appreciation and smile. It can make their day.
Definitely. But obviously there's the pandemic. And then on top of that, there was the huge upsurge in the Black Lives Matter movement following the murder of George Floyd in May. And obviously you spoke out as part of an article for Dentistry Online, which was fantastic and was really, really well received. So thank you so much for contributing.
Thank you.
This might seem like quite an obvious question, because obviously lots of people choose to not speak out. I think we mentioned this, you know, prior to the podcast, you know, a lot of people sometimes don't know what to say. But why did you take an active stance as a professional?
Yeah, I mean, I feel anyone with a moral conscience would realise that what happened to George Floyd was inhumane and unjust. Not only Black people were deeply affected by this. I think a lot of people, whether you were Black, you were white, brown, whatever colour, I think a multitude of people from different backgrounds recognised that this was wrong and chose to take a stand. Yeah. And as a dental professional, I just felt that I was no different. I feel like if we see something wrong happening, then we should just try and say something about it.
Yeah.
But I think, I guess a lot of people were scared to say the wrong thing. And people just didn't want to get involved in political matters. But I didn't really see it as a political issue. I just saw Black Lives Matter as like a human rights issue. Completely. And something that everyone should just come together. You know, police brutality and institutional racism are nothing new. Mm-hmm. And it's been going on for a very long time now. But I just feel like whilst we were all in lockdown, these issues were very much magnified and it forced a lot of people to listen. And if we weren't in lockdown, I don't know if as many people would have been as interested as they were. I just thought I wasn't going to sit back and watch and wanted to take an active stance. So as you said, I contributed the article, which featured other great dental professionals like Dr. Olumide and Chinwe, who made some fantastic points as well. So yeah, feel free to read the article if you're listening to this and you want to know.
I back that comment. It's well worth the read. Like you said, it's, I think a lot of people sometimes get a little bit scared because they think it's a political matter, but I agree with everything you said. It's not so much political, it's more just being a decent human being.
100%.
You know, in the same way that a lot of people could take for granted that they're most likely not going to be the person who is subject to some of these issues.
I think it can be quite easy, if something doesn't affect you, to turn a blind eye to it, you know? So I think it's really good how everyone came together. And people like organizations like the FGDP and BDA, they have recognized this and they are coming together now, and there are talks happening to start to sort of improve diversity and equality in the dental field, which is a huge step forward, I think.
Absolutely. And it's it's definitely something that, like you said, this has been a weird time. But if this is something that's going to create these conversations and keep these conversations going, and then it's translated into active change, because that's what we need to see, definitely.
100%, 100%.
So yeah. I mean, going back to dentistry, obviously you graduated this year. What was your journey into dentistry like? How did you decide to sort of write, this is something that you want to do and this is something you want to dedicate your life to?
Well, I didn't always know I wanted to do dentistry. That's a start. I didn't come out of the room with like a drill in my hand saying, yeah, I want to be a dentist. I actually had no dentist in my family. I was born in Nigeria, grew up in Southeast London in a single parent household, didn't really know any dentists. I didn't even see dentistry as a viable career for me. So when I was growing up, I just went through a lot of phases. I didn't really know what I was going to do. I actually thought I was going to be a singer because I love to sing, and that was my dream when I was younger. But I guess that dream slowly began to die when I realised that it wasn't that simple to become a singer. Yeah, I wasn't actually as confident to sing in front of large crowds as I thought I was, so that wasn't going to work. So yeah, I just started to look at what else I was good at. I really enjoyed working with people, and I was quite good at science. Mm-hmm. So after doing some research, I came across dentistry, and I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. It kind of combines my love for working with people and science. Uh-huh. And it was very practical, which was a bonus. So once I decided that I wanted to do dentistry, I started looking for some work experience, and I found this process very difficult. I wrote countless of letters. I went to at least 10 different dental practices. I was faced with a no each time. It was very disheartening. I think it's very difficult to give people work experience, and you have to really, really try, especially when you don't have any people in your family that are dentists. So I had to write so many emails. It was very disheartening, but I didn't want to give up, and I'm glad I didn't, because I finally got a yes from a practice. It was around 2.5 hours away from my house, which was a bit of a trek, but I didn't really care at that point. I snapped it up.
How were you getting there? Just like public transport?
Yeah, I took like 3 buses. Because I think back then I had free pub transport, because in London you get a free Oyster card. So I didn't really have money to be paying for train all the time. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get 3 buses, 2.5 hours. That's fine. But yeah, the work experience is really good. It solidified my decision and made me realize that dentistry was something that I could see myself doing. And most importantly, I could see myself enjoying it. I think it's really important, if you're going to choose a career, to make sure that you actually enjoy it.
In an ideal world, you'd have a job that, you know, pays the bills and you love. But I always think there's always 2 types of people. Some people lean towards just a job that will just pay the bills, and then other people lean towards and rather enjoy it, if you see what I'm saying. And obviously, you know, both, that's fantastic. But I think, yeah, you're right. If I'm the same as you. If you're going to be spending a lot of time doing this, so you want to enjoy what you're doing. You want to enjoy what you're doing.
100%. And after I actually applied, I make no secret of how difficult my journey was to get into dental school. In fact, that's what actually inspired me to make my YouTube channel, Yuande Dental, because I didn't get in the first time. I think it's quite a common trend with a lot of people that you don't actually realize. And I knew I wasn't going to be the only one. I was completely heartbroken when I didn't get in. I had my heart so set on dentistry. I cried so much. I was 1% off in an exam. Yeah, it was really upsetting. And I had to fork out like £200 to get my papers remarked, which was a lot, because I didn't want to because I just live with my mum. I didn't like burdening her with like financial things. So I had like a job. I like worked to try and get my papers remarked. So I finally raised the amount of money I needed and put it towards the remark, only for them to say, nope, still 1% off.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You know, like it was tough. I remember just wedding up. I was like crying on the spot. And I just thought, okay, am I going to actually be a dentist? Like, I started getting really bad and negative thoughts, thinking I wasn't good enough. I was basically convinced that I was a failure. I didn't really want to speak to anyone. But I think it was a really hard summer for me. I think when you're so young, we're really pressurized to make decisions about our life. Yeah. And I thought my life was over. I was like, oh no, this is what I wanted to do. What am I going to do now? But in the end, I stuck with it. I decided to take a year out, do the exam again. I had to swallow a lot of pride, because I had to literally go back to my sixth form. I'd done the international baccalaureate, so it was a sixth form where everyone was they were high achievers, and I thought everyone would just look at me like a failure, like, oh wow, look at her, like she's coming down to the lower year. But in my heart, I knew, look, this was just 1%. You know, you want to do dentistry. This is just part of the process. I always say to myself, trust the process. I put all my energy into ensuring that I got the best grades possible. I got an offer from Peninsula Dental School. Here I am. So I've studied at Peninsula for 5 years, and I can proudly say that I'm finally a qualified dentist. So,
what a journey. Yeah. But also,
journey.
I think it's good to talk about these things because people like aspiring dentists and other young people who, you know, you can take a hit and you can get knocked down, but it just goes to show that, you know, if it doesn't matter, and actually, you know, not getting isn't a sign of failure. It's actually just a sign 100%. That you're success. You know, it's part and parcel. Nobody does everything first time all the time. So it's important to have these conversations, I think.
Yeah, I think failure is something that we shouldn't avoid. I think it really just allows us to grow. Mm. And even though my journey was not the most traditional route into dentistry, looking back, I wouldn't change a single thing. And I'm actually very grateful that I went through it. Yeah. I think it shaped me into the person I am today. And it allowed the birth of my YouTube channel and my dental page on Instagram, which I'm quite active on. And I think the best thing is actually getting messages from prospective dental students saying, look, I watched your video and it's inspired me to push on. And now I'm going to retake the year, or now I'm going to do dentistry, or seeing someone that looks like me. I think when they say, because you don't get a lot of representation. And I think that's really important for me. When I get those messages, it honestly really does make my day, and it just makes me glad that I started it. And I always say that we shouldn't use social media to impress rather than use it to impact, because it can actually be such a powerful tool.
It can. It really can. And obviously, I know there's a lot of things that you associate with social media that are, you know, like you said, that people do use it in a way that can make people feel bad about themselves. But what you're doing, you're using it to talk about things that people might not necessarily be talking about so openly, and making people feel, you know, included, and making people feel better about things that might have happened to them, or if they didn't get into dental school first time. And that's great. I mean, you set up your YouTube channel. So it's relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah, so funnily enough, I made my first video right after I didn't get into dental school. So I think like 2015, 2016. And it was like a 20-minute long video just explaining my journey and just trying to encourage people. And I thought I wasn't going to make any more videos after that. Uh-huh. So I thought, you know what, I'll just leave it at that. I've done my bit. but after that, I just thought, you know what, there's more to this. And I thought, I actually really enjoy recording videos and the whole process. And it taught me skills like editing. And I just thought, let me make some more videos. And recently I've been making more videos. I try and do them weekly or every 2 weeks. Because I think the more information is out there, the more people I can help.
Absolutely. And I take it you enjoy it.
Yeah, I do. It's good fun. It can be a bit nerve-wracking at first speaking to the camera, but I think it really helped me grow my confidence as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
I mean, I've always wondered this about people on YouTube. How long does the process take from like recording to editing and finishing it up? How much time does this take?
Gabby, it takes ages. I've got a video that I literally need to record out and edit, and I'm just like, oh. The recording part is fine. It's just the editing. If you watch a video and you see someone have a cool effect on screen, or even like text on screen, like 20 minutes or like half an hour has gone into putting that on there.
I mean, it's impressive. You know, you're balancing this with your dental work as well. So I take it when you start your training, your foundation training, this is going to be something you want to maintain. You're going to have to balance the two.
Impressive. I think I'm pretty used to balancing things. I think a lot of my friends think I'm a bit crazy because I like to just do loads of things at the same time. Like when I was in uni, I actually started like a mini eyebrow threading business. Because I had taught myself to thread because I thought it was just a really handy skill, and I always needed to go get my eyebrows threaded. So I thought, oh, I can do this. So I watched a video on YouTube, and a lot of my friends just said, oh, can you thread my eyebrows for me? So I just started doing that. And it became like a really good little side business.
Do you thread your own now then? You do it all yourself?
Yeah, it's quite painful to do my own. Sometimes it's better to get someone else to do it for me, but I do it for my friends, and it was quite good in uni. I actually applied for the Future of Dentistry and I got the Entrepreneurial Student of the Year award for it, which I didn't expect to get for just a little eyebrow threading business, but it worked out.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? I think I need to do that. My beautician, she obviously they haven't been open. And then last
week. Really? Oh.
The government said, oh, you can't do it. The start of August said, oh, you can't do face-to-face treatments until halfway through. So I've been waiting 4 or 5 months to have my eyebrows done. And I went. And she looked at me and she said, oh, they've grown, haven't they? I was like, okay, yes.
Okay, Gabby, I think you need to go find a piece of thread.
So what I was going to say is I think I need to take a leaf out of your book and teach myself how to thread my eyebrows. they desperately needed it.
It was good fun.
Yeah, I bet. So you said you, for your dental elective in 2018, you went to Ghana. How was that? Because obviously that's not everybody goes away for it. So how was it? How did that compare to sort of working in practice in the UK?
Yeah, so I really, really wanted to go do something overseas. Obviously, I was born in Nigeria. I went with a company called Work the World. They didn't actually have Nigeria as a destination, but they had Ghana, which was quite close to Nigeria, and I'd never been to Ghana before. And I was like, oh, this would be amazing for me to actually go there and give back. So I decided to go, and I brought loads of resources with me, toothbrushes, toothpaste, some dental aids, just to try and teach them how important their oral health and oral hygiene was. Mm-hmm. I went to orphanages, the schools, and it was such a rewarding experience. The hospital that I worked at, Effiona Kwanta Hospital, mm-hmm. a lot of the patients there needed dental treatment. Uh-huh. So I was doing loads of extractions, and I was really shocked because when I went there they had 2 dental chairs and only one of the dental chairs was working. And the light was broken. I had to use the light on my phone to see what I was doing. So I think it really made me like appreciate everything that we have here in the UK. But I really admired the dentist's resilience to just make things work. Even though they didn't have all the right tools and equipment, he still managed to get the job done. So it's something that I definitely want to go back and do more of. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think going overseas to do some dentistry, it just really makes you appreciate what you have. That's and cool. It just changed my perspective on things.
So would you recommend, if somebody didn't know where to go, would you recommend going overseas for it?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I think it's really important to try and do something different to what you're used to. And it's an experience that I would never forget. And I'm so glad that I did it and hope to go back and do some more.
Yeah, definitely. I think like it's what you just said, makes you appreciate your job here, you know, like working with the tools that we have here, and we are so lucky. And it goes back to taking things for granted again. You know, you don't really think about it until you go somewhere where they don't have access to everything. And then it makes you realise actually we are very, very lucky.
Yeah, 100% spot on. So yeah, if anyone wants to do an elective, I highly recommend it.
Obviously, you, like I said earlier, you've graduated and you're about to start your foundation training. What would you say to sort of young dentists who are perhaps halfway through their degree, or perhaps thinking about doing dentistry? What would your advice be for them?
I'd say that you shouldn't ever limit yourself. I think a lot of the times we are our own biggest critics. I think a lot of the times we can put ourselves down, think that we're not good enough to do something. But I think, as cheesy as it may sound, you just really need to believe in yourself. I think that belief is what actually got me to where I am today. And I haven't even started a day of work yet. And I've already enjoyed so much of dentistry and had so many opportunities. And it's been an amazing journey so far. So I think it's really important to just believe that you can do something and not to put yourself down. Because it's that belief that will take you really far, because it starts with you. If you want anyone else to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself first. So I think that's one thing I'd say. And I think not to see it as competition. Everyone has their own journey. Everyone's running their own race. So just because someone else is doing something doesn't mean you have to do it as well. I think it's really important not to get caught up in the whole competition aspect. I think a lot of people that study dentistry, obviously they are quite high achievers and quite competitive, yeah. But I think it's really important to focus on your own journey and your own growth, and that will get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, it's a competitive by nature. You know, even getting to dental school is competitive, and then you know you've got 5 years ahead of you. So I understand how there can be a competitive nature to it, but it's good that people like yourself are coming through and breaking down these barriers and making it, you know, more communication and better relationships between fellow dentists and dental professionals. It's important.
And I'm glad I can play a part in that. Like, it's been amazing, and I just hope I love dentistry as much as I do in 10 years time.
I'm sure you will. I think it's only I mean, obviously it's been a difficult year, but I have no doubt that you guys will pull through and come out the other side of this better and stronger. And I think it has brought the profession together in a really, you know, you've got to take some positives from it. And I think I've seen a lot of people who have said to me, you know, there's better relationships with teams, better relationships with different practices, and it's kind of united the profession. So hopefully 100%. That can
continue. I think lockdown and COVID is a time that no one will ever forget. And as you say, I think as much as no one really anticipated it, it has brought so much positivity and brought people together in the midst of all the chaos.
I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. And like, it's taught us things that we wouldn't otherwise know, you know, about ourselves and about other people and just in general. So yeah, I think we've got to sort of embrace it as much as we can despite what it is, and run with it a little bit. But outside of dentistry, I always ask this question at the end of the podcast. what do you enjoy doing aside from dentistry, aside from YouTube and aside from eyebrow threading? What do you...
Oh gosh, I don't have a life then. You just said all the things I love. I mean, one thing I'd say, I am a massive foodie, so I love to eat. And I love a good discount. Like, my friends in uni, they always used to call me the discount queen, because I'll make sure that wherever I go, I'll find a discount. So I've been making out.
I'm trying to think of an example. If you went into like a store where you could sort of barter and sort of get prices down, would you happily do that sort of like...
Yeah, but in a nice way. try and see what I could get off.
I love that. I do the same. I've got better at it. But yeah, no, I love that.
So you know how the Eat Out to Help Out scheme is going on at the moment? Yeah. That's literally my dream, because it combines food with discounts. I think I've been to like 14 restaurants in the space of August. So I'm loving that.
The best bargain in terms of Eat Out to Help Out?
There's so many good places. I went to Bubba Grump Shrimp in Piccadilly Circus.
I love it there.
So the shrimp is so nice. So yeah, that was really good. So I'm just living out my dreams of eating. they should do it every August, I think.
I'll back you. We should start a petition.
yeah definitely. Eat Out to Help Out every August.
Okay, get people out the house. As we end this, I'm gonna set it up and get it started, and I'll start to send it.
Let's do it. But yeah, that's me. Oh, and I also love gospel music. I think I should mention that, like, I love gospel, singing with my church. I think that really makes me happy. Often I'd be humming tunes to patients in dental school. I think they liked it.
Yeah, definitely, I'd love that if my dentist did that.
So yeah. But
thank you very much for coming on today. It's been,
no
it's
worries.
Been a pleasure. And good luck with everything coming.
Thank you so much. I've had a great time chatting to you. Hopefully we get our Eat Out to Help Out campaign going.
I'm going to do it. Thank you.